In Business Daily today, the farmers whose lands were seized in Zimbabwe, can they start again from scratch and make a success of commercial agriculture in Nigeria? We meet the politician who thinks he can make it work and the farmers who are borrowing millions to carve a new future out of the bush. That's all after the news.
BBC News with Martin Handley. Military officials in Sri Lanka say at least seven people have been killed and more than 60 wounded in an explosion on a train near the capital Colombo. They said the blast occurred inside the rush hour commuter train close to the suburban Dehiwala station. The government of Burundi and the country's last active rebel group, the FNL, have signed an agreement to stop fighting and abide by a ceasefire, which was agreed 2 years ago but never implemented. In a joint statement, the two sides said the war was finally over. The Supreme Court in Ethiopia has sentenced to death 18 senior aides of the former head of state Mengistu Haile Mariam. Most of the men are in prison in Ethiopia. The court also sentenced Mr. Mengistu himself to death, but he's been living in exile in Zimbabwe since he was overthrown in 1991. After 18 months of delays, European Union foreign ministers have finally approved opening talks with Russia on a new partnership agreement to replace the one made 10 years ago. An American mathematician who's been awarded one of Israel's most prestigious prizes says he's donating the money he won to a Palestinian university and an Israeli human rights group. The mathematician David Mumford of Brown University said he hoped that Palestinian mathematicians would in future have the same educational opportunities as their counterparts in Israel. The Egyptian parliament has approved a government proposal to extend its controversial emergency law by another 2 years, despite a promise by President Mubarak that it would be dropped. The law was due to be replaced by anti-terrorism legislation, which officials say is not yet ready. The governing body of world football, FIFA, says it's provisionally suspended Iraq from international competition because of political interference in the country's sports federations. The move follows the Iraqi government's decision to dissolve the National Football Federation and National Olympic Committee, which it's accused of corruption. BBC News.
Hello, I'm Liz Carney with a special edition of Business Daily. I've spent the past year following the fortunes of a group of farmers who were evicted from their lands in Zimbabwe. But then a Nigerian politician came up with an offer. They'd get access to loans if they'd come to poor rural areas of Nigeria and turn bush into profitable commercial farms. It's an unlikely partnership, driven by a shared vision of an African country becoming self-sufficient in producing food. But given the hardships, initial opposition, could these new Nigerian farmers make it work?
Morning, morning.
This is the new farm which I lease from the local community. And we've cleared all this bush, but we've left all these lovely trees, and it looks really rather park-like. To me, this is pure heaven.
Pure heaven for Patrick Ashton is now a place called Panda in Nasarawa State. When I first met him at the end of last May, he'd been on the farm for almost a year.
I intend to start planting in a week's time.
What are you going to try?
Maize, perhaps rice, and then I shall grow cassava.
Until he builds a house, home is a zinc-roofed hut with a concrete floor and mosquito netting at A Camp, a clearing in the bush which is the project's HQ.
Did you see the land before you came?
No, we hadn't seen it at all.
Why on earth would you take on a farm that you hadn't seen in a country you didn't know?
From the situation we've come in Zimbabwe, we have recovered nothing, so we have no nest egg to go back onto. I'm in Zimbabwe effectively broke. We're desperate to stay in Africa. We love Africa. It's in our blood. And here was a black African government prepared to offer white commercial African farmers an opportunity to restart.
The men are among 30 pioneering white farmers who are starting from scratch. The radical idea is the brainchild of one of the country's top politicians, Kwara State Governor Bukola Saraki. He saw commercial agriculture as a new driver for economic development, and Zimbabwe's loss as Nigeria's gain.
If Zimbabwe don't want them, maybe they might want to go somewhere else. And part of the agreement we reached are things that will help the community. Agriculture, fighting poverty, providing employment, that's what it is. Unfortunately, it has been politicized. That's my own opinion, but I try and shy away from the politics of it all. And my own view is that what is good for Africa should stay in Africa. They're second, third generation. They've got skills. They have brought a lot of development to the area.
But before any work could begin, the allocated land had to be found and cleared, often by hand. Like the other farmers, Pod Cocker used a GPS to navigate his way through thick woods and along remote tracks to discover his new home and his nearest neighbours.
So we followed the GPS and found the nearest village on the map, sat down with the chief of that village and sounded out how the village felt about us coming and moving into the area. Once we realised that they were quite happy that we were here, I started thinking about clearing some land and basically picked the first young